Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Deliverance of the Yamala Arjuna Trees, Text 6 and 7. Text 6, Tam Drishtva Vridita Devyo Vivastra Shapa Sankita Vasangsi Paryadhu Shigram Vivastral Naiva Guyakao. Upon seeing Narada, the naked young girls of the demigods were very much ashamed. Afraid of being cursed, they covered their bodies with their garments. But the two sons of Kuvera did not do so. Instead, not caring about Narada, they remained naked. Text 7, the word meanings. Tau, the two boys of the demigods, Drishtva, seeing, Madira Mattau, very intoxicated because of drinking liquor. Sri Mada Andhau, being blind with false prestige and opulence. Sura Atmajau, the two sons of the demigods, Tayo, unto them. Anugraha Artaya, for the purpose of giving special mercy. Shapam, a curse. Dasyan, desiring to offer them. Idam, this. Jagal uttered. Tau drishtva madira mattau Shri madandhau suratmajau Tayor anugrahartaya Shapam dasyan idam jagau Tau drishtva madira mattau Shri madandhau suratmajau Tayor anugrahartaya Shapam dasyan idam jagau Tau drishtva madira mattau Shri Madandhau Suratmajau Tayor Anugrahataya Shapam Dasyan Idam Jagau Ladies.
Tau
Translation. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Although in the beginning Narada Muni appeared very angry and cursed them, at the end the two demigods, Nalakubara and Manigriva, were able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna face to face. Thus the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. One has to judge what kind of curse Narada placed upon them. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives herein a good example. When a father finds his child deeply asleep, but the child has to take some medicine to cure some disease, the father pinches the child so that the child will get up and take the medicine. In a similar way, Narada Muni cursed Nalakubara and Manigriva in order to cure their disease of material blindness. Om Jnana Timirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Tau Drishtva Madira Mattau Sri Madhandhau Suratmajau Tayor Anugrahartaya Shapam Dasya Nidam Jagau. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. Anugraha artaya. These words are very important in this verse. Anugraha means mercy. Artaya means for the purpose of giving. So Prabhupada, I like the way he uses this term here, he says, thus the curse was ultimately auspicious and brilliant. So devotees are the Mahabhagavatas, they're known to be brilliant, they know how to act in all situations. Especially Narada Muni, Prabhupada said in the previous purport, wherever Narada Muni goes, any moment at which he appears is understood to be extremely auspicious. So Narada is one of the Mahajans. I was going over in my mind this morning Narada's appearances in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He's so prominent in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He appears first in the very first canto. Of course, Vyasadeva is bewildered, not sure what to do. And Narada appears. So Narada is his spiritual master of Vyasadeva, and so many other great devotees. So there's a whole chapter entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada, fifth chapter of the first canto. Then Narada gives so many instructions to Vyasadeva. In fact, in the first canto, there's a nice phrase that's always stuck in my mind. Some of you may have heard this lecture one time. Srila Prabhupada, he spoke at a convention of publishers. It was in England, I think. And Srila Prabhupada had his secretary read this verse, Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shokam avadyavatyapi. That literature which is for bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of the misdirected civilization is accepted by sadhus. Srinvanti gayanti grinanti sadhava. It's accepted by sadhus. So it's a different kind of literature. Prabhupada had his secretary read this, the translation and purport to this. Of course, the purport to the verse is all about whatever these publishers are publishing is just nonsense and useless trash. Place of pilgrimage for crows. That was quite a bold statement Srila Prabhupada was making at this convention of publishers. So anyway, at the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that we should take advantage of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is recommended by Narada Muni, who has very kindly appeared in this chapter. So I was stuck in my mind that phrase, Narada Muni has very kindly appeared in this chapter. So Narada Muni actually appears, I think Narada appears pretty much in every canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto, as I just mentioned, I was thinking at least of one instance. The only one I couldn't think of was the ninth canto. In the second canto, Narada is there with Lord Brahma. You know, he questions Lord Brahma. Is there someone greater than you? Who are you praying to? That exchange is there. In the third canto, one place he's mentioned is that he told Devahuti about Kardama Muni. Of course, the union of Kardama Muni and Devahuti is important because the appearance of Lord Kapila is connected with that. In the fourth canto, I'm just thinking one instance. I know there are others that come up, but he's talking to King Prichinabharishat, so we have the whole Pranjan story. Narada Muni is involved in that. In the fifth canto, Narada is there because Narada is the spiritual master of King Priyavrata. In the sixth canto, the Chitraketu pastime of the son Harsha Shoka. So Narada Muni was there with Parvat Muni. In the seventh canto, Narada Muni instructs Prahlad within the moon. In the eighth canto, there's one instance where the demigods and demons are fighting, as they often do. And Narada comes and advises the demigods. Ninth canto, I'm not sure. I couldn't think of anything. Anybody can think of anything in the ninth canto where Narada appears? Okay, so Narada has some connection with the pastime of Ambarish Maharaj. And in the 10th canto, of course, we're seeing him now, right in the beginning of where we're hearing a reference to Narada. Of course, Narada is not present in Vrindavan, but there's some relationship to the story that we're hearing. And we'll hear Narada again, at least in Krishna's Dwarka pastimes. Most famously, Narada comes and visits Krishna in Dwarka, and he sees how Krishna's living simultaneously in 16,108 palaces. So Narada is extremely important to us. As I said, he's one of the Mahajans. In fact, in the Bhagavatam, there are several places where the creation is discussed, especially in the earlier cantos. And it often comes up also in prayers of different devotees. They talk about the creation or make some reference to it. So the creation of different personalities is given. So Narada is considered the first of all, the Kumaras. The Kumaras were created before Narada, or appeared before Narada. And the Kumaras are Shaktyavesh avatars. In the first canto, there's a list of the different avatars. So some Shaktyavesh avatars are also mentioned, empowered incarnations of the Lord. So the Kumaras are empowered incarnations, and they represent Jnana Shakti. The Shakti of knowledge or philosophical speculation. Now we know, of course, that the Kumaras, they matured from that when they smelled the saffron mixed with tulsi and the lotus feet of the Lord when they entered into Vaikuntha. They had a transformation and they became devotees. But Narada, he's also a Shaktyavesh, but he represents Bhakti Shakti. He's empowered with he's a personification, you can say, of bhakti. He embodies devotional service to Krishna. So, because he's a devotee, whatever he does is for the benefit of everyone. We're seeing that, an example of that in this pastime today, that Narada's going to bless them. Prabhupada also says in yesterday's purport, saintly persons know how to bestow mercy upon the fallen souls. So as I began the class, I quoted this from word for word from the verse, Anugrahaya Artaya, for the purpose of giving special mercy. So Narada has only one purpose, just as Krishna has only one purpose. People speculate about God and they speculate about God's intentions. But the primary frame of mind for a devotee is that whatever Krishna does is good. Krishna is all good. We may not always understand how this is good, how this is good for me. Just like this example that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is giving, the child may not understand how it's good that my father is pinching me. I was sleeping soundly and my father is pinching me to wake me up. But it's time to take my medicine. So we may be pinched. We may feel like we're pinched a lot. The material energy does a lot of pinching. And we may not always understand what's happening. Why is Krishna doing this? But our conviction is that somehow this is good for me. I don't know why. I can't understand now. But I have to have this conviction that Krishna is doing this because it's good for me. Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane. The Goswamis. Nana shastra vicharanaika nipuno sadharma samstapako. Lokanam hitakarino tribhuvane. Manyo saranyakaro. In the Shed Goswami Ashtak, that verse is there. That the Goswamis, they studied the scriptures very thoroughly. Nana shastra vichara naika nipuno. Very carefully. We see the examples of this when we read the Vaishnav literature. For example, Rupa Goswami, with the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or Nectar of Devotion, is full of so many references from so many scriptures. Supporting bhakti. Nana shastra vichara naika nipuno. Sadharma sangstapako. Because the most important part of the Shastra is that which establishes Sadharma. People have to be brought to Sadharma. Sadharma means, of course, eternal Dharma, or Dharma that's in connection with the Absolute Truth, not Asat Dharma. Asat Dharma is Buddhism, for example. Lord Buddha came to teach some kind of Dharma. But it was a temporary fix. So Sat Dharma or Sanatan Dharma, that's what the devotees bring, Sanatan Dharma, because Lokanam Hitakarino, because it's for the benefit of all living entities. Of course, one thing Narada, besides in the Bhagavatam, of course, Narada gives so many instructions to different devotees. He instructs Dhruva Maharaj, he instructs Prahlad Maharaj and others, because he's their spiritual master. He's also written books, the Narada Pancharatra, Narada Bhakti Sutra. Narada Pancharatra, Srila Prabhupada says, is for bringing the fruitive workers to the platform of devotional service. So, what does this mean? Because fruitive worker means all of us, really. Ordinary people beginning spiritual life. Because fruitive worker means we want something. We have material desires. And we work for those things. So the Narada Pancharatra means regulating your life. Or Narada is telling us how to regulate our lives in such a way that we engage our activities, which are usually meant for fruitive results, for getting something for ourselves, we engage them and purify them to gradually raise ourselves to the platform of devotional service, or become elevated to the platform of devotional service. Now, the Srimad Bhagavatam, you could say, is not exactly the same thing. It's not exactly, as the Prabhupada wouldn't call it, for fruitive workers. The Srimad Bhagavatam is Vaishnav transcendental literature, Nirmat Saranam Satam. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, it said that this Srimad Bhagavatam is for those who are pure in heart. It's relishable by the devotees. Pibita Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. Drink the nectar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Elevated, it's for elevated souls. The elevated souls relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Satvata Sanghitam. It's meant for Satvatas. Satvata. This word is related to the word sat, so liberated souls. The Srimad Bhagavatam is especially meant for liberated souls. So Narada, in any case, he gives instructions in the Bhagavatam and in other places to bring people to Sanatana Dharma, to bring them to devotional service to Krishna. So he does this in different ways. Naturally, as a preacher according to time, place, and circumstance, and the audience, the person to whom he's speaking. He gives different instructions. Another nice pastime of Narada's is his instructing Mrigari, the hunter. So he dealt with him in a particular way. Such a wicked person, what he was doing. He liked to see animals suffer. That was the way he was trained. That story is a nice example of how when you're trained in a certain way, it just becomes second nature. You just accept it. Just like in our society today, for most people, meat eating, it's just, they don't even think twice about it. It's just, okay, so what? What's wrong with that? We eat meat. Yeah, that's life. Why? Because that's the way people have grown up. That's the way they were trained. But when you have a little bit of knowledge, and someone tells you and points it out to you, especially when you hear from the self-realized soul with conviction, how horrible this is. How horrible it is to innocently take in the lives of animals. To take the lives of innocent animals. It's so horrible. It's so vicious. So, dealing with Mrigari, you had to stop this very sinful person. And so, of course, Narada doesn't just speak to people like that. He speaks to all different kinds of people. And according to their situation, he deals with them differently. So here he's dealing with sons of demigods, or I guess you could say demigods, sons of demigods, they're also demigods, devas. I sometimes think about this term because we talk about 33 million or 33 crores of demigods. So there are different kinds of demigods, and there are those who administer the universe, but there are also those who just live in higher planets. We also call them demigods. So maybe they're not exactly, they're denizens of the heavenly planets. So they were among these persons, sons of Kuvera. So Kuvera is a demigod, devata. So the sons of Kuvera, playboys, what they were was playboys, we would say today. Just having fun. They had a lot of money. Kuvera is a treasurer of the demigods, so he has a lot of money. A wealthy person. So what were they doing? They didn't have to work. These days we have trust fund babies. Sometimes children are born into wealth. They never have to work their whole life. Jet setters, what do? They just fly around the world, enjoy. That's all they do. Enjoy life. Don't have to work. That's their great challenge in life, is try to find some new way to enjoy. So what happens, of course, oftentimes is they become more and more degraded. So we see here, even these persons, apparently they didn't have anything to do. Their whole life was just leisure time. So they had women and they had intoxication available. Another thing, when you have money, you can get pretty much anything. Especially today, I think of, you know, I go on the internet, you can pretty much get anything, anywhere in the world. In former times, it was hard. Even if you wanted to get some asafoetida, you know, you have to wait for the ship to come in. Wait months to get a little spice from some place, you know, get some saffron from somewhere. So now, anything you want anywhere in the world, you just go online and order it. You can get it, including people, of course. That's, you know, the whole underground culture that's going on. You can even get slaves if you want. That goes on. So when you have money, then sense gratification is so easily obtainable. So it becomes a great obstacle to spiritual life. Wealth can be dangerous to have too much money, because material life is too easy. Sense gratification is too easily available. So the example of this Manigriva and Nolakuvara, they were just enjoying life. And they became degraded because Narada Muni is appearing there before them. Just imagine. Narada is famous all over the universe. They must have heard of him, known who he was. Narada really gets around. I was thinking, we call him the transcendental spaceman. He travels in space. So he always shows up everywhere. He's always on the move. He's always in the right place, making things happen. Not only does he move, but he's a mover himself, a mover and a shaker. We know that Narada is a catalyst. He always gets things moving. Even in Krishna's pastimes, he stirs things up. When it seems like Kamsa is just going to relent and stop his evil ways, then Narada says, no, what are you doing? You gotta... Because he wants Krishna to appear, so he sort of stirs up trouble. Some people who are not so educated with proper acharyas, they have this view of Narada. Prabhupada gives the example, farcical Narada. Prabhupada uses this phrase because sometimes in plays in India, Narada appears as kind of a comical figure. Because he's always causing trouble. So he's like a troublemaker. So he's seen that way. People have this sort of, they characterize Narada in this way. So we know, of course he's not just a joke. Narada is not a joke. He's not a comical person. He's a Mahabhagavat. He's a Mahajan. He's one of the greatest persons in existence. So he appears before these two persons and they're naked and they don't even bother to cover themselves. Of course, it's said here that they're intoxicated. So when you're intoxicated, then you can do completely crazy things. You can lose your mind. Already we've all lost our minds. So intoxication makes us more stupid and doing crazy things. So this is how they reacted. They didn't do anything. So it says Narada was angry, or it says transcendental anger the devotee can have. We can surmise that he was angry because they're just wasting their time, not offering respects to a sadhu, which is very important for everyone in human life. So let me do something about this. So he's going to curse them, but it's going to be mercy he's giving them. Anugraha. He's giving them mercy. They're going to stand as trees. For 100 celestial years, they're going to stand as trees. Narada, of course, he can see the future. He knows what will happen in the future. They're being cursed as trees, but where are they going to stand as trees in the courtyard? What will one day be the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan, Gokul? So Krishna will come there. Narada knows that they will get the mercy of Krishna and become devotees, become purified by Krishna's association. So ultimately, of course, this is the business of the devotee. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. The devotee connects us with Krishna. That's the devotee's business. Where in Maya, there's a disconnect. We've disconnected from Krishna, unplugged from Krishna. So the devotee's business is to go around and reconnect. That's yoga. Devotees give yoga. Bhakti yoga, they tell us how to connect, they show us how to make the connection with Krishna. And Krishna fulfills their desires. One thing we know about Narada is that when he does something on Krishna's behalf, we know that Krishna will back him up. Krishna will always support his devotee, even at his own expense. So Narada is not going out on a limb here thinking, well, this might not work. They might stand here for 100 celestial years and then nothing will happen. No, he knows Krishna will reciprocate with my desire. So nigamam appahaya mapratigyam ritam adhikartava pluta ratasta. This verse is from the first canto spoken by Bhishma Dev as he's passing away. He's recalling Krishna's mercy at different times. So one of the things he remembers is that Krishna is so merciful that even at his own expense, swanigamam appahaya mapratigyam. He said, Krishna gave up his own vow not to fight in the battle of Kurukshetra to uphold my promise to Duryodhan. The story is that Duryodhan accused Bhishma of not fighting hard enough against the Pandavas, favoring the Pandavas. So Bhishma said, no, I'm going to fight. You'll see. I'll fight. I have these 5 special arrows that I'm going to use on the Pandavas. So Krishna knew about this, and he sent Arjuna, and Duryodhana said, well, let me hold on to them, these arrows. So Krishna knew about this, and he sent Arjuna to Duryodhana And when Arjuna arrived, Duryodhana said, "Whatever you want," because this was the Kshatriya etiquette, "whatever you want, I'll give you anything." He said, "If you want me to just lay down my weapons now and start the battle, I'll do that. Anything you want." So Arjuna, or is it Krishna that went? Was it Krishna or Arjuna? Anyway, huh? Arjuna went, yeah. So Arjuna said, "I just want those arrows." So he got the arrows. So then Duryodhana said to Bhishma, so now what? So Bhishma said, "Don't worry, I'm going to fight so hard, because Krishna has instigated this. So I'm going to fight so hard that either I'm going to kill Arjuna or Krishna's going to have to fight." So this was Bhishma's vow, that I'm going to either kill Arjuna or Krishna's going to have to fight. But Krishna had promised that he wasn't going to fight. But because Bhishma had made that vow, then when Arjuna was in trouble, then Krishna ran after Bhishma. When Bhishma was going to kill Arjuna, then Krishna ran after him. And of course, Bhishma is remembering the scene. He said, "You ran after him. Hariyariva hantabiva gadotariya." He said, "Just like a lion goes to kill an elephant." Hari. Hari means elephant. That's how we get Nara Hari. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Hari means lion. Just as a lion goes to kill an elephant. So Nara Hari, in this name, Nara Hari. Hari doesn't mean Hari Krishna. It means, in this Nara Hari, Hari means lion. Haririva hantumivam gatotariya. And he was so, Krishna was so absorbed in what he was doing that his uttariya, his top cloth or his chadar, went flying off and he didn't even realize it was happening. He was so absorbed in the moment protecting his devotee and protecting his devotee's vow. Krishna gave up his own promise not to fight, or he was ready to give up his own promise. Ultimately, he didn't fight. But because Bhishmadev surrendered to Krishna, he thought, oh, Bhishmadev was in ecstasy. Oh, look at Krishna, covered with blood and sweat and dust. That was ecstasy for Bhishmadev to see Krishna like that. But Krishna was supporting, upholding the vow of Bhishmadev. So here, Narada is, he knows that Krishna will come through. He's going to deliver these two rascals. So this is, I'm blessing them in this way by giving them what appears to be a curse. So the translation again. Seeing the two sons of the demigods naked and intoxicated by opulence and false prestige, Devarshi Narada, in order to show them special mercy, desired to give them a special curse. Thus he spoke as follows. So any questions or comments? Varuna? Varuna in the back, he's first hand up.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class. Very enlivening. I had a question. You were mentioning about how it's also in the verse that the purport that the father pinches. So, mm-hmm. And you were saying that Krishna is all good. So whatever he does, the devotee has that conviction that whatever Krishna does, it's for his good. But also we hear that someone who is trying to be a devotee, Maya comes and tests him. I don't know if Krishna tests him or Maya tests him, but Maya comes and puts some obstacles. And usually it's those obstacles that we are, who are trying to get out of this material world that we're attached to. And she puts those things in front of us that we're attached to. So my question is that, so should we not think of Maya? Should we just think, oh, it's all Krishna? Or should we think of Maya and you know, respect her? And say, okay, but please let me go. You know, what is the, you know?
Well, there's no difference in the where it's coming from. It's coming from Krishna ultimately. Maya is the chayeva yasya bhuvanani vibharati durga. Maya is called chaya because she's like the shadow of Krishna. Just as the object moves, the shadow moves. So similarly, whatever Krishna desires, then Maya fulfills. So it's either way, it's okay. Prabhupada said we should be afraid of Maya, so that's one way to look at it. But still, Krishna consciousness means to always see the hand of Krishna, to always see Krishna everywhere. So whatever happens to us, I think we could say that that's maybe a little bit higher. It's higher to think, to see Krishna in everything. And we can recognize Maya. We have to be afraid, especially in the beginning of spiritual life, fear is important. It's a motivating factor for us to advance. So we have a healthy respect and fear for Maya, but we have to know that this is coming from Krishna, ultimately, and this is Krishna's mercy. Now, it doesn't mean that, of course, the whole point is that I have to rise up to the challenge. And we pray to Krishna to have the strength. Of course, that's the key. We can't do it on our own. Krishna says, this is my material, mama maya duratyaya. It's my maya, it's difficult to overcome, impossible to overcome. But if you surrender to me, then you can overcome it. So that's really the frame of mind we have to be in, that this test from Krishna can only be successfully passed if I take the mercy of Krishna to pass it. Dharmaraj Prabhu?
We see, like, in the trend of the Bhagavatam, like, the highlights of for one having Krishna's mercy is either they become like a great devotee or a great demon, and like that, you know, they get Krishna's mercy. But in this case, I'm just wondering, what are the qualification for these two persons, Manigriva and Alakuvara, to be so highlighted in the Bhagavatam and gets Krishna's mercy out of anyone else?
Well, somehow they're fortunate. Kono Bhagavan Ji. So they have some fortune. Generally, you can say this is the general rule, that somebody has some fortune and Krishna sends the spiritual master. So they're ready in some way or other. But Prabhupada would also say that even the unfortunate, it doesn't matter, because the pure devotee doesn't make that discrimination. He can go beyond that ordinary rule. The devotee is transcendental to that. So out of his love for Krishna and his desire to spread love for Krishna, and his mercy, his compassion, then he intervenes out of his own sweet will, you can say. Devotees have desires. They have pure desires. They have their own motives. But those motives are always pure. So when the devotee is inspired to help someone, the devotee doesn't have to weigh the balance. Oh, does this person deserve it or not? That's another symptom of the Goswamis. It said they didn't consider who was fit and who wasn't fit. They gave the mercy out to everyone. The followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they distributed the fruits of love of Godhead to everyone without considering who was qualified and who wasn't. So there may be some history here, I don't know. Sometimes we find out later in some Purana that they did this or that, or they're, you know. But in philosophically, we can understand that the pure devotee will give his mercy to anyone without considering. If that's their desire, they can do that, and Krishna will uphold what they do. Pran Govinda Prabhu?
Very nice class, Prabhu, thank you. There's a 5-degree offenses by them, according to Sanatana Goswami Pad, that the first offense he committed against Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva holds the lotus feet washed water on his head. Being an associate of Lord Shiva, they should not have done it, first of all, because Lord Shiva respect by holding Ganges on his head. Second was the offense committed towards the Kailas Dham. In Kailas Dham, nobody acts like this. And the third one is that offense against the Ganga Devi herself, that nobody should bathe in naked, especially in Ganges or Jamunas. Then comes to Narad Muni. But in this case, speciality is that these two boys, we hear the story of King Renu, who was guided by Narad Muni when he was the king of this earthly planet, and he was in desperate need of some wealth. So Narad Muni guided him to go to Kuvera from heaven. So he made this arrangement, and then when he went there, he entered at the front gate of Kuvera, where in between heaven and this planet, according to 5th canto. So when he entered there, he submitted that I am the king of this earthly planet. I would like to see the king, Kubera. So he said, he's in the front. So he could not understand. In the front, he saw so many cart going by, and some grains are dropping, and there are some servants who is picking up the grains. So he got a little bit back and forth here, there. Because he preserved every wealth Krishna has. Because some dropped from the cart, so he himself with his servant picking those. And that's how the Kuberas. So it's not the sons of the Kubera got the quality of Kubera. But Narad Muni often visited Kuberas, and they were very close friends. Like Pralambasura also come from there. He became a demon. So same thing, the Kubera had a very close relationship with Narad Muni. When Narad Muni saw Manigriva and Nal Kubera, immediately recognized, it's my best friend's son. So out of relation, Sambandha delivered.
Uh-huh. So this was one of their good fortunes, that they were the sons of Kubera. All right, we're past time, we'll stop. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.